Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it's an honor and a privilege to come before people of God tonight. I hope everyone had a great week and was able to achieve all that God had asked of them to do. Because we have to remember only the things we do for Christ will last. God is giving us opportunities to be of service. And I thank him for this time that he allowed me to go before his people. It's such a privilege and an honor, and I don't take it lightly. And I thank each and every one of you. Our lesson tonight is, it is God who is doing the work. Get out of the way. God is doing the work. And we have to just get out of the way. It's coming from the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 13th to the 15th verse. The song that I chose for tonight is so appropriate because it's called A Great Work. God is doing a great work. You know, we look at the things we have to do and the things that we want, you know, and sometimes we think we could do something to change it. But everything is done by God in us and through us. Yes, situations are going to come and they're going to go. But God is in the midst of everything. Nothing has taken him by surprise. And yes, he is working it out together for our good. So I'm going to play the song tonight, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace in prayer. And then we're going to expound on the word of God together.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low. And you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed, and in due time God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blows.
Even has begun
a great
work.
Is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created for such a time as this. A great work, a great, great, great work. So go be great. Don't get discouraged. Go be great. Don't you get weary. Go be great. Keep marching for justice. Because it's not the strength in this wonderful world.
And that song is saying God is doing a great work. We have to realize it is God that working in us to get things done, to give us blessings, to give us guidance, to give us help in time of trouble, to protect us, to be our shield. It is God that takes us and keeps us from danger, seen and unseen. It is God that moves things that need to be moved and open doors that need to be open and shut doors that need to be shut in your life. But we got to cooperate. God is doing his part in every aspect of our lives, and we must realize that. So it's just our job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, cooperate with the Word of God. And then we'll reach our success. God is the one that's doing the great work, y'all. You got to trust him. You got to believe him in order to achieve all that God has for us. And at this time, Sister Pam is going to come on and bring us to the throne of grace. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, people of God. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Just thanking you, O Lord, for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds with a portion of our health and strength. Thank you, Father God, for being the only one that can supply our every need. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for salvation. Continue your blessings upon our sister and our teacher, Minister Diane. Lord, give her, crown her head with the wisdom and the knowledge that comes from above. I ask, O Lord, that you continue to bless this Bible study. I ask these and all other blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you for allowing God to use you. And he will continue to do a great work in you.
Amen.
You just have to get out of the way. Get out of the way. And at this time, we're going to go in our lesson. I'm going to say the title of the lesson again. Hallelujah, y'all. The title of the lesson is, It is God Who is Doing the Work in You. We just have to get out of the way. You see the problems and the situations that we have and that we face, and God knows about it. God figured the outcome for it before the foundation of the world when he made the master plan. Hallelujah. He had an appointed time to make all crooked things straight. Sometimes we stand and we get in the way and it hinders. Let God fix it for you. He know what to do. You bring it to him and you leave it there, but you got to trust him. Every time you pick it up in your own hands, you saying that you don't trust God, even though you don't say it with your mouth. You're saying it with your actions that God needs your help. What help do you have? You have the word of God and speak it. You have prayer, then pray. You have patience, learn to wait until your change comes. Our background tonight, I'm going to talk just a little while about Paul, because Paul is the writer of the book of Philippians. You see, the Philippians were the people that live in Philippi. That was a city. And the people there were called Philippians. That's why when you see in the book, the book of Romans was written to the people in Rome. Galatian was the people who live in Galatia. You see, these were the people that lived in a place, and Paul wrote these letters. In the New Testament, Paul wrote 13 epistles, which is the same thing as a letter. And many believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews, that is said to have the author unknown, which would be 14. But they have authenticated beyond any reasonable doubt that Paul is the author of 13 books. He wrote to the Philippians, and that's what we're looking at tonight. You got to realize that when the churches started after the day of Pentecost, plenty of people that was in Jerusalem with the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They received the word of God. And it penetrated their heart, their body, their mind, and their soul. But many of them didn't live in that region, so they all had to go back home after everything was over. When they got to home, some of them who had heard from the Holy Ghost began to start a fellowship teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in synagogues, in houses, in the upper rooms. They began to study the word and tell everybody about God. And you see, many people at that time became saved and they were baptized. And that was the formation of Christians. Many Paul letters was getting people, getting the churches in order. Many of the churches had so many disagreements, so many obstacles they had to fight. You know, there was a lot of false teachers trying to get the people to believe in them. So Paul would write a letter when he heard of discord in the different churches. And the letters that we have in the Holy Bible, it's the letters that he was writing for correction and for reproach and for conviction, encouragement, love, and clarity. Hallelujah. You know, today the Methodist Church, they don't get to pick their preachers. Their preachers is their pastors are sent from, you know, their headquarters. And plenty of times if there's going on, something going on in the church and they reach it at the headquarters, then someone will come down to try to straighten it out. You know? So that's what Paul was kind of like. He was like the bishop. He was one that heard of a situation and he wrote a letter to them, encouraging them, telling them what thus said the Lord, teaching them the right way. Many times they couldn't understand what the word of God really meant or what it was saying, and Paul brought clarity. But if we take a little time and look at Paul, we have to realize that Paul practiced Judaism, which was the religion of the Jews. And Paul was faithful in his religion. The Judaism religion believed in God wholeheartedly. And today they still do. But they never accepted his son, Jesus Christ. They looked at Jesus as a teacher. They looked at Jesus as a good man. But they didn't think that he was a savior. And even today, they're still praying at the wall in Jerusalem and all over the world, praying for God to send them a Messiah. And it saddens my heart every time I have to think that the Messiah has been came, and yet they're still looking. The Bible says, blessed are those who never saw Jesus Christ and believed. Because if we go all the way back, Jesus was doing a miracle, feeding 5,000 with five fish and so many loaves of bread and healing the sick and bringing sight to the blind. Jesus was doing all of these things, and yet they didn't believe. But many of the Jews now do believe in Jesus. It's just like everybody else. You got to come by faith, and you got to accept him and confess that you need a Savior and believe that he is the one, and you will be saved. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile. God opened the doors for everyone. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God gave his son for the whole world so everybody have a chance to be saved. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It don't matter your financial status or your education. It's a free gift from God for all that would receive, accept, believe, and accept. But we know that even though it's a gift for the whole world, not everyone in the world would accept it. And we see that today. But God did his part. See, God doesn't do half things halfway. When God offered salvation, he offered it to all. He said, whosoever will, let him come. You see, and God did that. Glory, hallelujah. God is that kind of God. But Paul was a teacher in Judaism, and he did it really well. Paul was so good at what he did that he was persecuting the Christians, those that decided to follow Christ. He was persecuting them, even some by death, because when Jesus said he and the Father is one, they figured it was blasphemed. When Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, it was blasphemed. They couldn't comprehend the Trinity, number one, and they didn't think Jesus was the one, number two. So they never accepted, and then the people who were teaching, like Stephen and Peter and John and all of those, they became enemies to the believers in Judaism. And Paul was their executionist, their prosecutor. So Paul was crucified. Well, not crucified. Maybe he did crucify some, but he was inoculated. He was trying to inoculate anybody that believed in God, in Jesus. In Jesus, not God. But one day, Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, and he had a little talk with Paul. He revealed to Paul who he was. And you see, this was after Jesus had died and resurrected in the appearances that he did on earth before he ascended, the 40 days. That's the time that he met Paul. And he asked Paul, why are you crucifying me? Why are you, doing what you're doing to me? And Paul didn't understand what he was saying. He said, but the least you do to mine. You see, we are the children of God, so those who believe in Christ are his children. And Paul was persecuting the believers in Christ, so he was, working against Jesus. And Jesus said, why are you doing it, Paul? Well, after Paul met Jesus, his life was never the same. Paul now has turned away from Judaism, and he began to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ at all costs. And that's how he wrote the books. And that's why there's so much writing of clarity given to us by Paul. Paul, who named was changed, but it was changed by him. His name was Saul, and he changed his name to Paul because he wanted to identify with those who God had sent him to reach. You see, the Jews was the chosen people of God. The door wasn't open to anybody else but the Jews. But after the Jews kept denying him and kept not wanting him and not respecting him and not loving him and really trying to get him to kill him, which they did, God decided to open the door to everyone, the Gentiles. There are only two classes of people. There's Jews and there are Gentiles. So if any one of us, if none of us is a Jew, we are all Gentiles. But God opened the door to the Gentiles, and we was grafted in the body of Christ along with the Jews. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Paul did everything he can to bring others to Christ now. God knew that Paul was so good at what he did for Judaism. He said, let's see what he's going to do for Christianity. You see, God know what's in you. All that time, Paul was crucifying the Christians. But God knew what was in Paul. And God knew if he could give Paul the absolute truth and nothing but the truth, Paul would make a good conscious decision, and he did. And he began to follow Christ. Paul, after he met Jesus, he was never the same. He began to hold up the bloodstained banner for the Lord, teaching and preaching wherever he could. And tonight he wrote, rereading the book of Philippians, and he's in jail. Paul was in jail so many times. And not because he, did this horrific crime. His crime was they wanted him to shut his mouth in reference to Jesus Christ. So Paul was in jail, and Paul had heard, with the Philippians, many of the letters was for corrections that he wrote, the epistles. but he was writing to the Philippians because they was one of the churches. When he went in jail, they sent him donations. They tried to help take care of his needs. And this letter he wrote to the Philippians was a thank you letter. And he encouraged them how they was working out in the faith. You see, some of the people had started and they stopped. Y'all know about that. Some of the churches came out strong and then they got weak. That's why Jesus in the book of Revelation wrote the letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he described each characteristic of what they was doing or what they should be doing or what they shouldn't be doing. And Paul let us go out with some kind of message for the church caught into what was going on. But tonight we got the book of Philippians. Paul is in jail and he's writing to Philippians and thanking them for their support. Glory, hallelujah. And I want you to know that Paul kept doing what God wanted him to do at any cost, because Paul is the one that said for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, long as I live, everything I do, I'm going to do it for God. And then when I die, I'm gain. He said, how can I lose on earth and live, do everything to God, and then die and receive God forever? And not to receive him, because we already had him once we accepted his son, but receive living with him and Jesus being our King and our Lord and our governor and master, living in the New Jerusalem with them. Paul kept doing what he was doing. And Paul was martyred. He finally, they killed him, y'all. They couldn't shut him up. They had to kill him. So Paul go down in the book as a martyr, and that's someone who died for their conviction of truth about something. So Paul was martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight for Paul and his writing. I thank God for using Paul the way that he did, that Paul could give us what we have and what we need today in the 13 epistles that he wrote in the New Testament of the Holy Bible. If you can read all of the letters that Paul wrote and you could get an understanding of Paul, you could know who Paul is, you could know who Paul was, and you could see how God used him. Paul is the guru of the Bible, y'all. Paul didn't leave no wheel unturned, and he did it where we could understand it, apply it, and use it in our lives. So that's a little background on Paul, and now we're going to look at his writings. I chose for the night the book of Philippians that we talked to a little while ago, but I'm going to go to the second chapter. I asked if you had a chance, you could have read the whole chapter because there's some beautiful stuff in it. And we're going to start at the 12th verse. And I used the salutation from Paul. So, you know, after giving a little background, you could understand. So the scripture says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, Paul writing a letter to him, he say, you know, he called him the beloved. So that's how you know they was brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, y'all obeyed. He said, not only when I was in front of you, but even after I left, you still obeyed. But he said, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And when we see this fear and trembling, it doesn't mean to be shaking in your boots and trembling. He said, it is so hard to really know everything, not some things, because we got some revelation, but you know we don't have all the revelation. He say it's hard to know everything necessary to please God. So he say, as you trying to please him, fear him means reverence. Reverence him and have a desire to want to be better, to do better. And with trembling, you know, you want to be on point. He say, so that's how he started his letter off. With these Philippians. You see, Paul is letting them know how they should act when he is with them and when he's not. Character is doing the right thing when no one is looking. You see, there's character and there's personality, and personality is like perfume. You could put it on and take it off whenever it's convenient for you at the time. You see, people who just have personality are really people pleasers. They want to be this to one and something else to someone else. When it's all said and done and one said and done, and sometimes when they are alone, they don't even really know who they are. They done put on so many faces, became so many different characters that when it's all said and done, they don't know who they are. We should always just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You know, some people, when they go to church, oh, they holy. If the pastor comes to their house and they drink, they put the liquor up. Come on, y'all. If they like their little jukebox and shake, rattle, and roll, they play a hymn when the pastor comes. Paul said, you're just trying to fake it till you make it. Come on, y'all. Paul said, do what's right because it's the right thing to do. Christ has given us the gift of salvation to enter eternity once we believe, but he has also given us salvation, which means to be protected and delivered daily here on earth. See, so many people look at their salvation as something that's just going to happen when they die and when Jesus come back. You're being saved daily. It's that same salvation that Jesus give us that keeps us day by day. It's God's salvation here on earth that keeps us from danger seen and unseen. It's the salvation of God here on earth that allow us to do this and do that and have a family and your children. And it's salvation, y'all, not just for when we die. It's a salvation that is given to us once we believe. It began to operate in us from the time we believed, not just when we leave this world, but as we live in this world. So Paul is saying in the scripture, work out your own salvation, a salvation you got right now. What are you doing with the salvation that you receive once you believe right now here on earth? Are you working it out? Are you setting on it? Are you ignoring it? Or you don't believe that, first of all, you got to understand that you are being saved out, saved daily, which is a part of salvation. And then you got to understand that it's a gift given to you. It's always said that salvation is a free gift. So you got this free gift, not what you do with it. And I'm going to sum it up real easy. Our life is a gift from God. What we do with our life is a gift to God. The doing of our life to give God a gift is working out our salvation to make it clear that we could understand. Hallelujah, y'all. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, doing his part. Even working out the salvation, trust is necessary. You see, trusting is a part of the work, and believing that he will work all things out for your good is a part of the work. Obedience is a part of the work. Produce faith, and faith, when it is solid, produces light. Faith gives us confidence to shine in the midst of the storm. All we have to do, my sisters and brothers, trust and believe and be obedient and patiently wait for God to do the work. When we look at the next scripture, Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Now, this is in the scripture. It didn't say you. Look what the scripture says. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." They say it is God that God wants to have pleasure in you. He wants good pleasure from your life. But not, let me just say it like this. You see, this scripture lets us know beyond a reasonable doubt who is doing the work in us and enabling us to work out our salvation, which is righteous living here on earth. You see, it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You know, Isaiah 54:17 say, "No weapon that form against us shall prosper." Do you believe it? The scripture lets us know that weapons will form but will not prosper because God is working in us and equipping us to do the kind of work that would please him and give him pleasure. But we have to get out the way, y'all, and let God do his work. You see, we have the victory, so let us start acting like it. The war is against the flesh and the spirit. Jesus conquered the flesh on the cross. That's the war. And we already have the victory. So we should start acting like it. Remember what you remember, what you were created for, to give God glory. You should be encouraged. The working out of your salvation is not so much your work as it is God's work. God is producing in you both the will. See, that scripture say it is God that working in you both to will. The will that is talking there means he's giving you the desire. And a word I love to use, y'all know, it's an opportunity. God is giving us the desire and the opportunities to do his work. How you like that? And then the scripture went on to say, to do the work. He's given us the will, the desire, and the opportunities to do the work. And then he's given us the provisions to do it, to accomplish his good pleasure. You can't lose with that, y'all. That's why there will be no excuses. God is always doing his part. God has never desired anything from you that he didn't provide the provisions necessary for you to accomplish it. You see, before the foundation of the world, God had his will in mind, and he created us for his good pleasures and glory. We know Jeremiah 29:11. But you don't even know what God's will for your life is and what God's promises is. That's why he gave us in the word of God, written by St. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15, that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study to know the will of God. He gave us the gift of salvation through his Son. Whosoever believed would have everlasting life. And once we accepted him, he allowed his Holy Spirit to dwell in us and teach us what pleases him. The Holy Spirit is telling you daily what pleases God. Do you listen, submit, and commit? You hear the Holy Spirit. Plenty of times people will say, "Well, Sister Diane, something told me." If whatever they told you was good, it wasn't no something, it was the Holy Spirit. And if it's something for you to do anything that you shouldn't be doing, that something is probably the devil. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift. And what we do with that gift, give God pleasure. Did y'all know that? You know how your children begin to do what's right? They listen to you. They're obedient. If you tell them something, they do it. You know how much pleasure that gives you? When you got a child that's doing what they're supposed to do, not even just a child, but say your husband or your family members, everybody in your family working together as one. You know how good that makes you feel? Well, imagine when we do what God has asked us to do and be obedient to him. It gives him, as the scripture says, good pleasure. You see, God didn't just give us salvation and walk away and left us alone to deal with our struggles trying to do his will. He is our present help. God is beside us and within us to help us. God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But I'm going to give you something, a secret. The secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control and simply get out of the way. God, what you told me, I don't quite understand it, but I'm going to get out of the way. God, I ain't so sure that is the way that it could happen, because you know, sometimes we even tell God, you don't understand how this child is, as if God don't understand. Sometimes when you're really ready to leave a situation, God tell you to stay. And you're not ready to stay. But if you just stay, God's going to work it out if God said it. And there are many relationships. It could be even on a job or whatever it is. There's time when God tell you to throw in the towel and walk away. And yet you're not ready. Oh, I'm going to give them another chance. Oh, I'm just trying to be with them because I know they're weak, you know, and we say whatever we want. Get out the way. God may want to straighten that person out, but you in a way. Sometimes we got to get out the way for God's will to be done. We don't really have to get out the way, but your God chooses that way, because as long as you're holding on to the situation, he's not going to take it out your hands. You have to give it to him and get out the way. Then we look at Philippians 2 and 14. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. And verse 15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. What do you have to mumble, dispute, or complain about? I guess if I say that, many people say, oh, I got something for you. But when it's all said and done, usually there's nothing too much that you could do about it, especially when it deals with others. We have a hard time. I don't know about you, so I'm going to say me. I have a hard time controlling myself doing what I know I should be doing, because it's just the right thing to do in some time, and I'm not making it as an excuse. I'm like Paul, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing them, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He said, but it's not me, but it's the flesh within me. We had a lesson the other day, and it was so profound to me that I'll never forget it, and the lesson was talking about God was dealing with the Israelites, and the Israelites, you know, no matter how much God gave them, no matter what he did for them, they would get straight, and then they messed up. They got straight. They messed up. They got straight. They walk away from him. They got straight. They go make idol gods and present them to the people. They just was a hot mess. But there was a statement that God knew that he made them flesh, and there was no good things that dwell in flesh, and flesh is weak. So it was saying sort of like God was giving him all the chances, which God is a God of many chances anyway. But you see, God made us. God knew we was going to struggle, and he knew that we didn't bring sin into the world. It was Adam, and he said he will not let all of us struggle for one man's sin. See, God take all of that in consideration when he looked down at us. That's not an excuse to do, not to do things right, but it is a battle, and it's real. You know, on some occasions the spirit win, and sometimes the flesh win, if you want to tell the truth. Well, I could just tell the truth in my life. You know, they got people who believe that they done put their flesh under submission once they met Jesus Christ, and it'll never rise up again. But I come to tell you, flesh is going to crave and do and ask for fleshly things. Come on, y'all. First of all, when flesh stays hungry, that's when you feed it. So don't tell me you put flesh under subjection forever and nothing about flesh going to rise up. If your flesh could rise up to tell you you're hungry, it could rise up to have you play tricks in your mind. Just figure it out. Remember, it's God that is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure, not your works. Get out of the way. God is providing all the resources needed and all the provisions necessary. Trust God to move on your behalf, no matter what state you're in. Don't trust him when it's all good. Trust him all the time. When you get the bad news, trust him. When your money funny, trust him. When your children being disobedient, trust him. When your relationship is breaking up, trust him. When your health is funny, trust him. Have faith that God will and shall work it out. We shouldn't go around acting like unsaved people, complaining about everything and everybody. We have a Savior. We have a Redeemer. We have a Provider. We have the one that has all power in his name. It's not about what we go through. It's who we go through it with. And we have the victory. So why do we go around grumbling and act like the unsaved people complaining about everything and everybody? God lets us know that the battle is not ours, but it's his. And he's able to fight and deliver us, not sometimes, but every time. And you got to realize the way that God delivered us might not be the way you want deliverance, but God knows best. See, when you could truly trust God, you're saying, not my will, God, but your will. And you could say that because you know that God knows best. Bless me any kind of way you want to, dear God. God is doing his part, and we should learn to be loving, patient, and peaceful with one another. And we got to learn to be that with ourselves, y'all. We are told to let our light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father. I come to tell you tonight, please let your light so shine. Do you have a light where somebody could look at you and know who you belong to? Do you have any light that people know you have been changed? Or do, you know, you got saved and never asked the question, now what? So you got saved and you received the gift. And yes, you will be saved, but nothing changed. There's no light. Complaining and murmuring dims your light, y'all. And arguing, it dims your light. And I just want you to know, please don't let someone else make your light go out or let Satan steal your joy. Hallelujah, y'all. You know, Moses when they were in the wilderness, the people was getting on Moses' nerves so bad, complaining and mumbling and grumbling and arguing and fussing all the time. They asked Moses to ask God to give them water, and Moses went to God, and God told him yes, and God told Moses how to, what to do to produce the water. They kept on yakking at Moses so much, and Moses got angry. Instead of doing what God told him to do, he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock and the water came out, the people didn't praise God for his good pleasure. They began to praise Moses. And because of that, Moses was not, listen to what I'm saying, Moses, God's right-hand man, the man that God loved Moses. You could believe it. God chose Moses, and he loved Moses, and he was always with Moses. But because of that act, because God is a jealous God, he didn't allow Moses to enter the promised land. I'm talking about Moses, y'all. So I use that to let you know, don't let someone else make your light go out. Allow Satan to steal your joy. When people see you, will they see the light of darkness? Do you represent God or the ruler of this world? Does your faith shine as you go through life, learning and depending on God? There's a scripture in Matthew 5:14-16 that says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. 15, neither do a man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick. If you got a light and you hiding it, what would be the reason? And you would say, Sister Diane, how am I hiding? Have anybody actually ever heard you talk about the goodness of God? If you got God in you and you got word in you, but you never shared it, that means you're hiding it. Have anybody ever saw you pray? The scripture says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put a candle, light a candle and put it under a bush. But you put it on a candlestick so it could give light. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is heaven. Our good work is achieved by working out our own salvation, doing what is right. Our essential mission as a Christian is to become a light. Have your light ever brought someone to Christ? Can your light let people know that you are a child of God? Your eternal life is secure, y'all. And that's a good enough reason to shine. God needs you to shine. God needs you to shine bright in this world, this day and time. Y'all don't think so? Look what's going on. Would you imagine if all of the Christians was beaming like lights to all of these young people on the street? All of the problems in the homes and sharing and caring, if we was lights, y'all. In this day and time, your light needs to shine. But it says, work out your own salvation by studying the word, praying, leaning not to your own understanding, loving God and loving others, and submitting, obeying, just doing what is right, and you will be a light in a dark world. And I close with this. We must get out the way and let Jesus fix it for us. That's the lesson for today. Glory, hallelujah. Any comments, questions, or concerns, You could address them at this time. If someone would like to add something to this, it would be most appreciated, because sometimes you could say something and the people on the line could get a better understanding of it than when I say. You see, when we say the word of God, when the opportunity is given for everyone to put input, that's how we grow, because the Bible say, iron sharpens iron. So your word added with my word, and it's just flourish. So that's why the opportunity is given each Wednesday for anyone to add anything, if necessary, to take some away from the word of God that went forth. I know many of you are saying, oh, this was this and this was that. Tell it to everybody. Well, that's our lesson for tonight. No one would like, if anybody would like to say something, you could press the one button on your phone. And if nobody would like to say anything at this time, Sister Pam, I open your mic back for the benediction.
The benediction is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip with you everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now give me that scripture again. The name of it, the title, the book and its verses.
Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21.
Thank you, baby. And that those scriptures back up the scripture we had on tonight. See, that's
Amen.
The way God is. Now, Paul wrote Philippians, and he's talking about God's good pleasures. And then the book of Hebrews, you know, they say the author of Hebrews is unknown, but he's still speaking the same talk. And that's a beautiful thing. I like to think the word of God is like a circle. It just goes around and around and around and around, because there's nothing new under the sun. And it's a beautiful thing. And I thank you, my sister, for that scripture. And I know you studied to get one that would be in the same order. That's like precept upon precept, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone have anything they would like to say, you could press the one button at this time. If not, I'll just let you know that I thank God for allowing me to come before his people. I thank the people of God for allowing me to come before you guys. And I thank each and every one of you who have taken time from your schedule. And I ask God daily to bless each and every one of you, your homes, anything that you put your hand to, that you have success. I ask God to just build a hedge of fence around you guys. I ask God for to allow his provisions to flow in your life like a river. I ask God to protect you from danger seen and unseen. I ask God to give you traveling grace, not just for the highways and the byways, but every time your foot step out of your home. I ask God to keep you close to him, keep holding you in his unchanging hand. I thank God for loving you and teaching us and giving us his spirit and his son. I thank God for all of that. So until next Wednesday, I'll say good night. God be with you till we meet again. Good night.